Hear now the word of the Lord. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like a dead man. And the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. But he is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. But suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings." Literally, it says, "Hi." They came to him, they clasped his feet and worshiped him. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Close to 40 days later, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. For surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." It's the word of the Lord. On this Easter day, we gather together to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. However, we do not do so as many do today. Some kind of a celebration, much like you would have a celebration for the world champion San Francisco Giants, which is certainly worth celebrating for the rare times it actually happens. Easter is not a commemorative event that we print cups for or that we put pithy phrases on cards for. In the Gospels, there's nothing about Easter that calls us to kind of nostalgia, put a sense of nostalgia towards it, and kind of remember what once was. Easter is not a commemorative event. It is a world-changing event that has attached to it a calling upon our lives. It is a declaration of God's in breaking into the world and a declaration that he is now completely and utterly in charge. And he invites people on into an adventure of faith. An adventure that needs to be entered into completely and utterly without looking back. It's the beginning of a life, not just a designation, as it were. The adventure of faith. I grew up loving adventure stories. Particularly those stories of adventurers who, living in what was known at that time the old world, they would stand at the shore of the sea, looking out to an expanse of wondering what was beyond there. Is it flat? Did we fall off the edge? Is there amazing places to be explored, treasures to be found? Is there some amazing and utter place of paradise that we could go to, like, say, Montana? And, I mean, the Caribbean, there's nothing really there to see. I mean, they had to hike a few miles to get there, but it was worth it. And they would set off on these journeys, and these ships and these amazing seas would be bashing against the ships, and they would fear for their lives, thinking, what are we doing? Where on earth are we going, and for what? I had even clipper ships wallpapered onto my wall. It was so intriguing to me. One of the explorers at the time was a man by the name of Hernando Cortez. He was a Spanish conquistador. How's my Spanish, Rick? Great, thanks. And he was given the keys, as it were, to Mexico by the governor of Cuba at the time, another Spanish transplant. And he set sail, landed in 1519, and began the expedition into the Aztec country in which they were going to try to conquer that place. And upon landing and beginning their expedition into this unknown territory, hardships arose. They were threatened by a variety of things, trying to make contact with natives there who were sympathetic to their cause, incidentally. And the struggles of the terrain, the struggles of the life that they were now beginning to lead, caused them to begin to wonder if we shouldn't get back on the ships and go home. To return to the old world that was known and to abandon the new one. They also was wondering whether or not this person was worthy to be followed, leading them maybe on a mission of absurdity. Cortez, sensing the very real possibility of this defection, did the infamous thing of ordering that the ships be burned. The message was clear. No looking back now. The mission was in front of them, not behind. And the mission could not be accomplished by a group of men who were always looking over their shoulders thinking, maybe it's just time to leave. Now, I have no intention of spending time on Cortez. His legacy is debatable. But for the sake of the metaphor, I want to think about that in terms of the Christian life. The calling of Jesus after his death and resurrection to us to burn the ships, to enter into the new world, and to leave behind the old. The followers of Jesus Christ, men and women alike, had been brought on an absolutely amazing adventure. In the gospel stories, we've seen them witness the teaching of Jesus that amazed crowds, the healing of Jesus that took people who were in desperate straits and brought them hope again, his ability to confront injustice when it was right in front of them. It was all leading to what they thought was a new reality, and now their hope had been completely crushed. He was crucified by the hated Romans. It was all over again. And that new world that they thought Jesus was the one that was going to inaugurate fades away into the old one. He wasn't the one. He had led them on a mission of absurdity. And to make matters worse, they failed miserably themselves. They looked behind. They abandoned him. They denied him. And they contributed to the very events that led him to the cross on which he died. And now they find themselves in a locked room in great fear. And into the midst of this reality, Jesus rises again from the dead as he predicted, just as he said, the angel says. And the irony is that the appearance of Jesus following his resurrection is remarkably ordinary. I don't know if you imagine the kind of the tomb opening up, him stepping out to the Alleluia chorus. It just didn't happen that way. Utterly ordinary. The very first words out of his mouth literally are, hi. I mean, can you imagine? Right? You're going to anoint the body. And he turns around and you see Jesus there. And what a great moment to say something profound. And he says, hi. It's like, it's real. Right in front of them. A normal conversation. And yet, something utterly profound in that he had risen again from the dead. And the words given again and again in this resurrection scene are, don't fear. And I don't believe that's merely because of the appearance that brings fear. Fear is itself the place where the women and the disciples have been residing. It has defined who they are right now because it's all fallen apart. And Jesus wants to say to them, I'm alive, don't fear. Fear kills faith. Fear kills initiative. It blunts it completely. And it manifests itself in the uncertain worrying about what lies ahead, the future, as well as despair over the past. Fear is what grips humanity to such an extent that it chokes out life. And Jesus has come to, as John would say later in his epistle, perfect love casts out fear. And what is the intention of casting out that fear? is to move them onto a new journey that Jesus has in store for them. What is remarkable, even more so, about Jesus' appearance to his disciples is that he does not appear to them, grab them by the shoulders, turn them around and say, "Let's talk about what you just did." Peter, what happened? James, John, sons of thunder, where'd you go? He doesn't do that. He doesn't come and show them their past. He simply shows up and says, "Don't fear. I am the leader who is going to see you through this. Go ahead. I will meet you there in Galilee. We're going to have a meeting, and then I'm going to send you out." That's the extent of Jesus' words following the resurrection from the dead. It's time to immerse yourself in a new world reality, fully separate from the fear that is attached to the old one. Where are you this morning, this day? Are you one who was caught between a new world reality and an old world reality? Do you think you can have one foot there in the new world, yet have one foot in the safe world that is old? A world that is known, a world that is predictable, a world that is really quite boring when you think about it. Nothing new under the sun, and a world that appeals to all the temptations that we flirt with that bring us no joy but great despair. Let me be clear. As much as it might appeal to make that hedge of a bet, to have a getaway ship off of the shore, the truth is if you haven't burned the ship and set foot into the world of God's calling on your life, you are, in fact, sailing away from it. You need to burn the ship. Are any of you here still stuck on the ship, looking at the shore into a horizon of unknowns, not sure if the risk-reward makes any sense to you? Not sure if what you might have to give up is worth the cost? Time to take the dinghy boat to shore and burn the ship. Are you one struggling with the despair of your own past or the reality of life that you now face that has not turned out as you thought? You've been running around on the shore or maybe a few miles in, keeping firm sight of those ships in the harbor, the ships you think take you back to reality. A reality away from the constant discouragement that you face. The call is to burn the ships. Why on earth would you do that? With Cortez, it was a risk. With Jesus, it is not. He is risen from the dead. He is alive. He shows himself in utter ordinary humanity, yet absolutely supernatural. Risen from the dead, but a very human call. Give up your old life. Come with me on this journey of faith, and I will see you through. It is a world in which perfect love will cast out fear. Friends, the old world is already known. They know every nook and cranny of it. It's a world that promises a whole lot and delivers a whole bunch of crashed ships on the rocks. The new world, though, has amazing peaks and valleys, amazing sights, amazing adventures, unknown things that draw you into a life for which you were made, but it is not without difficulty. It is not heaven. It has difficult peaks to climb which exhaust you and valleys you wish would finally end. Nobody said it would be easy to follow him. In fact, he said the very opposite. But it is a world that has grace, but the other one doesn't. It is a world that has real love and not just the appearance of it. It is a world in which people live, whether they recognize it or not, in freedom, not in paralyzing fear, afraid to move, or running from their past. Are you fully in? Is he the one you're fully willing to follow without embarrassment? We may question. You can question. Some doubted, it says, right? We can question the turns in the roads, the struggles we may face. We may doubt our own abilities. But what we cannot do is look back and romanticize a life that is false. Friends, burn the ships. He is risen from the dead, a death he died for you. Give up the old world. Explore the new one. For if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would move powerfully in our midst to see the truth that's standing right in front of us. Do not be afraid. Go and tell. I will be with you always until the end of the age. Help us to believe that Jesus' life and our lives through him, in him, have greater depths of beauty, mystery, and benediction than the wildest visionary ever dared to dream. For any who have never embarked on that journey, may they right now burn the ships, leave it behind, putting their faith in Christ, praying humbly, Lord, I believe in you. Help my unbelief. In the risen name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.